You know, I did that once. I did a Dunk the Clown booth. You know, where you're like making fun of people.
How'd that go?
Well, it was fine. Although, so this is in high school, like raise money for band. So there's already part of the problem. But anyway.
Raise money. Okay.
So it's a Topsfield Fair.
Were you playing in the band?
I was in the band. I was in the trombone. So I was in the big front of the band. Not that that matters, but I played jazz band too, so it was kind of cool.
Trombone and clarinet.
Were you clarinet?
Could have put a band together, yeah. Right.
So we're doing a Dunk the Clown booth, Topsfield Fair. It's October, so it's cold, right?
It's freezing.
Very cold. But you're in water. You know, you're above water, and you're getting dunked in water, and you're making fun of people. And it was funny because this gets back to the idea of getting too close to the mic, because the mic had a little bit of a short in it. So you're wet near a mic that has a short in it. So as you're trying to insult somebody, if you got too close to the mic and hit it, you would get a little... It's hard,
oh, man.
Hard to deliver the insults. You're like, yeah, you think, oh my God! it's less effective that way. But yes, I did come close to electrocuting myself several times.
Welcome to the Indoor Amplified Podcast.
Yeah, I'm not hovering over water right
not
now.
Not at a dunk tank.
I'm not going to lick the mic.
Oh, jeez. That sounds terrible. I'm sorry.
That was horrible.
Well, they do that to... wouldn't be acceptable for kids these days.
No, I think there would be some OSHA issues.
Oh, man.
But I don't think the Topsfield Fair really abides by OSHA all the time.
No, don't need to. Guys, welcome. Welcome back. This is Eric.
This is Jet.
We're here today. What are we covering today?
Today we're talking about meetings, because a lot of people, after our training...
Making meetings suck less.
Sorry, I jumped the gun. That's all right. You know, a lot of people, after the trainings that they do with us, have a lot of, you know, questions. They're saying, like, well, how do you handle a negative person in a meeting? Or how do you structure your meeting to try to get the most out of it? You know, how do you deal with extroverts? Because, you know, in our training, one of the things I like about the training, not to go too far off on this tangent, but the training that we do, you know, nobody can really control it, so the extroverts really can't control it. And yet the introverts have to participate as well.
Yeah.
So everybody's contributing, and they're all contributing, and they're all contributing roughly the same. And so in a training environment, it shows why you'd want to do that. But I think then when you get into the real-world environment of running a meeting, a lot of questions come up afterwards of like, well, this is great, but how do I make sure that so-and-so doesn't just sit there and control the meeting? Because
right.
A lot of times when I have an idea – there are one or two people that they just
dominate.
Run it and they dominate,
yeah.
And there are probably a couple people that have great ideas that are in the back that are just quiet and like, I don't even know why bother, you know?
Yeah.
And some of that gets to like how you treat ideas. Are you empowering people to speak their mind? Are you a culture of yes versus no? But a lot of it gets to do with just how do you facilitate a meeting. So,
yeah.
To
cut you off, just in case we go down too far of that tangent. So a lot of... You know, dealing with negativity, dealing with different personalities in a meeting. We'll talk about some structures that you and I have both seen is
yep.
very beneficial for meetings. I think the big goal and the reason we're doing this is because in the title, yeah, meetings suck. And we've all been in meetings that just go on forever and ever. And I think people are trying to find a way to solve the unproductive meeting.
Yeah.
Everybody reads about Jeff Bezos's meeting format where you have to have like a thingamahoozy massive write-up and understanding of it. But in this podcast too, a lot of what we talk about is cultivating ideas, right?
Yeah.
This is when you're calling the meeting to explore ideas from your team and come up with a new strategy of selling or a new marketing message or a new event idea or it could be like a company kickoff party or something, right?
Yeah,
whatever it could be.
A sales kickoff meeting or whatever to like come up with ideas, right?
It's, you know, so what we're focusing on today, how to make these types of meetings where you as a leader are trying to get your team together to come up with ideas. And as Chet was kind of mentioning, the introverts, the extroverts, there's dominance versus people that just kind of sit in the back and just say, oh, whatever, my voice isn't going to be heard. By the way, I've been that person a lot.
Have you?
Oh, I sit in there, yeah, because, and then it's stupid because...
But yes, you're an extroverted guy.
I'm an extroverted guy. You're right.
But has it been because, I didn't mean to jump in, but has it been because you're like, these people don't want to hear it anyway. They're just going to jump all over. It's not worth my time.
Yes. Because, okay. Well, because there's no, I've done it because there's, I don't have faith in my leadership to manage the meeting appropriately, to make sure everybody's idea is heard and organize those thoughts in a good way.
Well, I think that's interesting because some of that gets back to the basics and you know, again, ties a little bit to our training is, do you have a culture, have you developed a culture where people feel comfortable putting their ideas out there?
Right.
Because if you're not, you're already up against it where some of those great ideas, you know, when people give ideas, not all of them necessarily going to be great gold and like, woo, that was great. Yeah. But like second or third one might be a great idea. But if I feel like, if I put that idea out there, or it's just a little bit risky, or it's a little bit, and people are going to look at me like an idiot, or they're going to disregard it, or just not even listen to it, it's not worth my time and effort to throw the idea out there. And the thing is, that's when great ideas die.
Right.
Because the interesting idea never gets surfaced, that the interesting idea might not be doable.
Right.
But if it sparks something in you,
yeah,
you then may latch onto it and suddenly we've got a great idea. But if I sit on my okay idea or my out there idea because I just don't have the time, the patience, not worth it, then we all kind of go down to mediocrity.
Right, right. If dead on, and one of the analogies I liked to use because I, growing up playing baseball, but any sort of sport, like, you're not going to hit a home run on one pitch.
Right.
Nobody's going to hit a home run on one pitch.
Right.
And I love that because being a salesperson, it kind of has all the sales lingo. But you're not going to score a soccer goal with just one kick from wherever the hell you are, right? You're not going to score a touchdown on one throw unless you're Tim Tebow in the playoffs in 2000, whatever the heck that
was. But if you create an environment where people are working together as a team, you're going to increase the likelihood that you're going to get a touchdown at some point during the game.
Right, right. And I looked at meetings, especially after our trainings, when you came in and worked with our team, like I looked at it as more of a team sport, which I think a lot of leaders want to look at. You know, my team is a team sport. My cultivating ideas and coming up with a strategy and working together is everyone's committed and everyone's involved.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? This is an aside.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this and I think it's really new agey and I would never love it. But
is it a buzzword?
It's a buzzword.
I love it.
And then we can start it here, see if it catches on.
Hashtag.
You're going to hate it.
What is it?
Well, instead of having a meeting, we're going to have an us-ting. Because it's about us as the team, not about me as the leader.
That's kind of like the no I in team.
Yeah, it is. But there is a me in team.
There is an I in win. I like that we both were like, screw me.
No.
Oh, let's just shoot that down.
Think about that. If it catches on, you're over here first. Let's have an us thing. Can you imagine that? Just like, that sounds like something you could. We should write a book called us No thing. More Meetings.
No More us Meetings. Thing. Straight us thing. There are a few things that we see a lot in meetings, and one of the things that I'm going to start with before you get to these three things, I've talked a lot about this as a technology salesperson for years, right? There's a lot of team meetings, a lot of, you know, meetings to discuss accounts or discuss competition, this, that, and the other thing, setting meetings with customers.
Right.
And setting expectations. One of the things that we always try to drill home as salespeople and sales managers and sales leaders is what's the agenda? But not just, I think what was important is not just being able to express the agenda, but expressing what is the goal by the end of the call.
Right.
Right.
What's the outcome?
And what's the outcome expected? And 95% of salespeople, I still get invites to this day where it's just the sales rep, the engineer, the customer, and myself as the manager, myself as whoever. And there's no content in the invitation at all. There's no content.
So you just know your meeting, but you
don't know what the hell are we trying to accomplish here? And I had a meeting with a client this morning, actually, and we got together. I said, hey, listen, before we go into – it was a competitive call. It was looking at our product compared to somebody else's product. I said, our goal is to justify looking at a competitive proposal and the financial benefits of our solution and then getting together with your decision-making team early next week to go through this presentation and to go through this proposal, because if we can't get that decision-making audience, we're going to lose regardless, and you're going to keep going down the way that you're going to go.
Right.
And then I let my engineer loose, and we got through it, and then we were able to circle back to that purpose. which we got half of. We're like, yeah, we'll take the proposal. We got to discuss to see if we're going to get the meeting. He has to verbalize it internally, which we're working on.
Yeah.
So I will say, like, when you're ever trying to set a meeting to either cultivate ideas or accomplish some sort of goal, let the team know what is the idea, right? We're getting together to discuss the idea of a location for sales kickoff or company retreat or new marketing messages. And it needs to be very specific so that each attendee can say, we're coming out of this meeting with a new idea or a approach, progress to a new idea, and we're ready to come and collaborate.
Yeah.
But you see, and this gets into kind of the three things that we see that make meetings go south around this, the no person.
Yeah, the no person. So I also think, just to back up a second, I think particularly if you are trying to tackle something, it is, I think, important to set that expectation going to the meeting. About this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the thing and we can probably do a whole session, a whole podcast on the status meeting, because, like, to me, the status meeting is it just goes on and on. And you tune out. I mean, you lose the ability of great ideas because, you know, like, my turn's not coming for seven people and this person's just going on and on and on. And there's no, this is what we're trying to accomplish. We're just all checking in, you know?
On the point is the whole status thing. Like, one of the big things that we see in business is changing. And all the leaders, you know, business leaders listening, people aren't doing quarterly reviews, because usually that's a team thing. Individual stuff, I'm drawing a blank on it. What is it? Like an employee where you sit down with your manager and
kind of a performance review.
Like an annual performance review, because it's a huge waste of time. Different topic, because it's a different
topic.
Type of meeting.
There's a great topic, because I agree. Performance reviews are a waste of time.
We're gonna talk about that in a different podcast. Yes. So I'm writing that down.
But that is a great, that is a great area, because I think more and more people have found that nobody loves the performance review. The manager doesn't like it. The person in the review doesn't like it.
We can talk about why.
It's a huge waste of time, a waste of money. I've actually worked with a great company called Globoforce in the past that has a lot to do with employee recognition and engagement, and that performance reviews are a big suck to all that. So anyway, whole other side tangent. But my point is, I think, you know, status meeting is one thing, but for this, I think if you can come into a meeting saying, this is what we're trying to do, whether it's a competitive landscape or we're trying to evaluate a new procedure to do this, or we're trying to create a new product or whatever it might be.
Could be very general. Could it be like, I'm a sales leader, guys, I got six reps, and I say, guys, we got to get to $10 million this quarter or this year.
I think it can be that. Every time I'm out on a sales call, this issue comes up. We're trying to meet to figure out a way of how do we reply to that issue. Because we all face it, so let's share it and try to figure out strategies to get around that curveball or that objection that clients seem to have around our product.
Right.
So, because the reason why I say that is because then going into the meeting, I know I'm not just checking in with these people, whatever. I can already think of, as a participant, I can already think of, okay, here's what I would do. So I'm already hopefully coming in with an idea.
Yeah, so what's interesting is and I love that you just said it, hopefully I'm coming in with an idea. I've been invited to these meetings. I've been involved in these meetings of like, hey, we're kicking off the year. We have a new sales quota of 50 million, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's funny because most companies don't have a culture of, hey guys, we're going to have our kickoff and we're going to have a new goal of $50 million.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you how we're going to do it. I've never prepared for a meeting, this is a bad omission, admission.
Mm-hmm.
I've never prepared for a sales team meeting where it's like, hey guys, we have a new goal. Let's come up with ideas as to how to do it. I never prepare ideas. I never think about it. Mm-hmm. Because not a single company I've worked for or a single company I've worked with, and it's just not the companies I've worked for. It's every technology company that I've crossed in my field. I've never seen a culture where like a team of 5 or 10 salespeople all come into a meeting and say, well, if we're going to try to get to 50 million this year, I think we need to focus on this, this, and this, and then have those ideas go around the room. It's more of like, well, nobody's prepared to present their ideas. Nobody's going to speak up on their ideas because there's not that culture, which I don't know, like as we're talking about it, maybe it's like that goes into the culture of a company, maybe a culture of a sales force, and something that we try to build, and something I definitely changed as a leader, having gone through our team training or the type of team training that with you, and that was huge, right? And that started to change. Then I had an expectation from my guys and gals when I called a sales meeting and I asked them, hey guys, this is a goal. This is what I want you to think about. Right. They actually do it. Now, the first meeting, they didn't do it. I'm like, guys, did nobody prepare an idea? Like, I want you guys to have ideas.
Right.
I need you to bring them to the table. And we need to come up with it.
And the thing is, I think it's important. It's also, you know, if you're first starting out with that and you're faced with those kinds of things, it's not even putting pressure on you, but to come in with the solution.
Right.
It's more come in with some ideas of what you think how you think we might be able to start doing. They're not really idea starters than they are.
Yeah.
You've got to come in with a flesh that and champion your idea and fight for your idea because it's either your idea or someone else's.
Right.
But it's more come prepared for the meeting because the meeting, I think, then becomes much more productive.
Yeah.
Rather than we're all sitting around going, I don't know, what should we do?
Yeah.
We come together.
You're the boss. You tell us.
Right, right.
Which is basically the de facto standard of companies
is,
of like,
totally
I'm in management, so I give you guys the direction.
And I get told the direction.
Yeah.
And I figure out how do I make it.
So,
and I think the thing is, even as a leader who's putting this meeting together, I think that's something you can say, like, look, our sales goal, if it's a sales meeting, like, our sales goal is whatever, $50 million this year. How are we going to there? I want everyone to come to the meeting. This is what the meeting is about. I want everyone to come up with at least one or two ideas about how we might start to get there. Because you set the expectation. But even as a leader, if you are like, I know my de facto, I know how I would get there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
But as you're leading the meeting, particularly if it is a cultivating new ideas or trying to get people involved, I would say from a leadership standpoint, know your idea. But then instead of jamming it down their throat, have people come with ideas so you can listen because there may be some ideas in there that you didn't think of or ways to get there to make your idea better.
Right.
Or it might end up being all just a pile of crap and then you may have to say, well, here's where I think we need to go.
Right.
And this is the way we're going to start for now, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. So I think the point for our listeners too is like you can be in any level of leadership and you can be calling meetings and meeting with your team. And I think one of the things that we do for our clients in executive and leadership training is help identify which leaders are open to those ideas and which leaders are the, hey, I'm the manager, I'm the director, I'm the VP, so I'm going to tell you how things go.
Right, right.
Right, versus who's the manager, director, VP, or C-level even, that is like, hey, I need ideas from my people that are aware of that. Aware that those ideas from their team makes the best idea.
Well,
right?
It makes the best idea, and going back to the theory of yes and or whatever, it's more I can still be that alpha leader or whatever. Like I think this is the way I should do it. But even selfishly, I can instead of just being like this is what we're gonna do, listen to people's ideas because then I can even identify who's on the same page with me, who's got good ideas. Who's really thinking about it? It can then make my idea even better, and we can get a better idea. I mean, that's the idea behind it. Is I don't have to give up my control or even my idea, but it's more that I'm gaining input. I might be surfacing ideas out there that didn't exist, or maybe there's something about what you think we should do that ties in and accelerates my idea and makes it even better, or points out an obstacle that we've got to then meet about to try to get around so we can accelerate to that growth.
Yeah.
So I think it's a huge part of it is how to, you know, again, it's that theory of yes and, but it's people are coming. I'm creating an environment where they feel like they can put their ideas out there.
Right.
And they're not going to get jumped on and just said, no, that sucks or whatever. Does anybody else have an idea? Because at that point, I'm not saying anything, right?
Yeah.
Even if I do have a good idea.
And it's your responsibility as the leader or manager of that meeting to coordinate or quarterback the conversation.
Yeah.
And so now I think we're a little delayed in getting to our three points, and I think these are the key takeaways. When you call these meetings, when you have an agenda, and when you have your team, you want and you're a leader that wants to cultivate ideas, you might run into these couple
scenarios,
things.
Yeah.
And one of the things we have today is kind of a recommendation and a strategy that's worked for us that we want to share with our audience. We're about 20 minutes in.
Okay.
So maybe over the next 10,
we'll kind of
15 minutes. Yeah. Tell us about handling the no person.
So handling the no person. So it's interesting because, you know, this can be tough because if you are the boss and you are the no person, it's kind of
Which happens.
But if you are leading a meeting and there is that devil's advocate or the person who is kind of crapping on everyone else's ideas or is trying to find the reason why ideas won't work.
I've seen that called the chronic negator.
The chronic negator,
as
yeah.
As well.
Yeah,
in
I think
certain business spoof videos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the reason why it's a character type is because they exist, right?
Right.
And that can either come from a place of I'm insecure about my own ideas, so if my idea doesn't win, I got to shoot everybody else's down.
Yep.
You know. But handling the no person, there are a couple, few things you can do. One is, you know, I think if you know that you have a chronic negator out there, you can meet with them even before the meeting and say, yeah. Hey, I know that you tend to try to find the ways to make ideas work, and so you're trying to, you might be putting them through a litmus test as we're going along. But for this meeting, we're trying to really cultivate ideas. So if you have some concerns or have some things, you know, unless they are what if type of questions to propel the idea,
right,
or a major, major thing that we're missing, I want you to hold back on it and write it off to the side, and then we'll talk about
me.
It
yeah.
afterwards. Because that way we don't kill the ideas when they're actually in the meeting.
So give me an example of like the what if question, because I think people would find that very valuable.
Well, what if type question. So there's a whole thing called the innovator's DNA.
Yep.
And a what if type of question is saying things like, well, what if we were able to, you know, oh, that's a great idea. What if we were able to partner with marketing to create something that we can give to our client to make them
right.
to be able to justify it within their own company.
Yeah.
That's kind of a what if building off of your idea.
Okay.
Rather than how are we going to afford that? Or how are we going to how is marketing going to sell that?
I don't know why, but every time you like throw those sort of like, and those are real like experiences that I've experienced before, the way you do it to me makes me feel so bad. It's
well,
like, why are you giving me such a dirty look when
I
say
know.
It's,
maybe I'll
it's
look
too,
elsewhere.
It's
you can't
too
see
expensive.
That. It's too expensive.
We
you
can't
know?
Afford
but the thing is, we're just talking about it, right? When you're
yeah.
in a meeting and someone says
that's
that
to you. That's
like
devil's advocate, but that's not. That's just too expensive.
Shut down.
God
like,
damn
well,
it.
Damn, well, I guess I won't give my second idea.
Yeah,
you know?
Screw that.
Yeah.
So the what if is, what if we could...
Yeah, because what if in many ways is, it's kind of a yes-and-ish idea,
yeah.
which is like, I've listened to you, and what if we're able to do this? Or what if we're able to... Or even is, like, that sounds kind of expensive. What if we're able to fund it? What
yeah.
if, you know, because at least then we're moving the idea ahead, and then
right.
we can come back and say, hey,
so how
yes, are we
I like what you said,
yeah.
and what if, in expanding on that, et cetera.
Yeah.
So pulling the person aside before the meeting.
I think that's one. If you know that there's a chronic negator, if you know
yeah.
that someone's going to do that. Mm-hmm. Because, look, you know, ultimately when you move to execution, you may have to ask those questions. I'm not even necessarily invalidating
right.
the chronic negator's concerns, right? It's just more that when you're doing it at the beginning
mm-hmm.
part of cultivating
shuts
that idea,
down.
That it shuts things down.
Yeah.
And I think you can even have a frank conversation and say, like, hey, I think you're great at translating what we're going to do into execution. Or I think even to start the agenda, you can even say, hey, as we come up with these ideas, let's try to build off them and try to see where they go.
Right.
Because probably as someone surfaces ideas, we're going to have questions about how is this going to work? How are we going to execute it? We're going to have those types of things that come up. But let's save that for another meeting. Or
right.
let's save that. Let's save those questions
we
to
have
the end
the
until
big
we have
idea.
The big ideas.
The big
right?
Idea.
Right. So I think that's something you can either do individually
yep.
by pulling that person's eye or setting the table and just
setting
saying, hey, I want
table.
Ideas from people. I want you to feel free to put any idea out there, and we're not going to jump on them because it may spark a great idea.
Right.
Because I've been part of meetings where, look, I think kind of an insane idea, but I'm going to put it out there because there might be a nugget of, like, that is insane.
Yeah.
But
this part was great.
Yeah, this part of it was really great, and if you did give control over something to the client, well, that's a great idea. So anyway.
Yeah. Is there another – so any other – advice on handling the no person. There's previously, there's setting the stage.
I think those are the main
okay.
ones. And I think, look, if you're kind of not sidetracked by the meeting, but if you're caught off guard, you weren't expecting it.
Right.
I think even what I said about setting up at the beginning part of the meeting, you can do at any point.
Yeah.
Because if you start realizing people are now just creating a culture of no and
yeah.
people aren't, I think we can, or if one person just keeps doing it, I think you can even say, hey, so-and-so, I know
yeah.
that you have some concerns. For now, let's try to build off the ideas and let's come back to those concerns
got
later.
It.
And try to, you know, not cut
yeah.
them off of the knees in the middle of it, but you got to take control. Because I think
yeah.
one of the things that's successful of the training that we do is that you and or I or together or whoever the instructors, yeah, we're facilitating. Right. And so we're able to do that. We're able to tell people like, all right, hold off on that. You know, we're able to like, and so as a manager, if you're able to be an active participant of facilitating, you are the quarterback there.
You know?
So you are, or the offensive coordinator or whatever, to say, this is what we need to do. I don't need you to keep on doing this.
Right, right.
So
I have my team in the room. I've addressed the no person, or I've tried to set the table and say, guys, we're not going to say no to ideas. We're not going to negate. This is for ideas to flourish, and we will address that later.
Yep.
I get in the room. I get 10 people in the room. We're going to cultivate this idea. I get different personalities. I get people who are anxious to share ideas. I get people who are just energetic and may not be as well thought out, but they just are energetic to begin with.
Yeah.
No matter what, and aren't as thought out. And then you have, you know, kind of the maybe some shyer people, the introverts,
right,
who might have great ideas but don't want to speak out. So how do you command or set a stage to extract ideas from everybody regardless of their personality?
Yeah, I think a few, you know, it obviously comes down to the individual scenario, right? Because you would know your people hopefully better than anybody else as the manager. But I do think there are some things you can do, which is, we already talked about it a little bit, the idea of the prep going to the meeting is, we're going to try to do this, so come with your ideas. So hopefully you've got, with those 10 people, they've all at least thought about it and they're ready to go, and they should be ready to share their ideas.
Right.
So I think a few things. You know, if you are just sort of throwing it out there and the extroverts sort of naturally take control or whatever, I think you can sort of rein them in a little bit to say, like, I think that's a great idea, and then direct it somewhere else to say, what do some other folks think about this? Or,
right,
you know, direct it to an extrovert. What did you think about that idea? To try to really get them involved, or did you have an idea? Because I'd like you to share that as well. I think, so I think
that's always a great, it's so subtle and so rarely used to be like, hey, that's a great idea. You know, I want to get your take on it.
Yes.
There's nothing more empowering from a manager
to
say, I want to get your take. I want to get everyone's take on it, but right now I want to get your ideas on that idea.
And I think another way to prompt that is also knowing your people. If there's an introvert in your group, but you know that they're really good at something, I think you can, again, before the meeting, say like, hey, I really, you know, I'm hoping that you come over, you know, I want to hear your ideas in there because I really value you. Mm-hmm. That can sort of give them the encouragement to put their voice out there.
Right.
If you haven't done that, I think in the meeting, even there have been times when I've said, you know, I'll say, let's call the person Mary. And that's not to actually any Mary I've worked with before. But if Mary's there and she's not, you know, normally going to be extroverted and put their idea, they're just saying, hey, Mary, you know, Mary, you're so great at when we execute this, you're really good at coming up with the marketing aspect of it. Have you, you know, do you have any ideas about how we market this better? Mm-hmm. Because, and then I am saying, I value you, you're great at this, what are your ideas? And she can always say, not yet, or I haven't really thought about it. But at least you've in volleyball terms, you sort of set her up for the spike, you know, but if she doesn't, she sets it back to somebody else. But
you just made a really good point, and you know, a lot of managers, and one of the things that we see in business, and one of the reasons we started this, is organizations are getting flatter and flatter, right? Their business continues to evolve. Consulting groups like the McKinsey's and the Accentures of the world are going in and telling companies how to organize their structures, right? And telling them almost to get flatter. You don't need such a hierarchy. So let's say I get 15, 20 people on my team.
Yeah.
Right? You just said something about like in volleyball, right? I always call volleyball bump, set, spike, but basically do the setup in the spike. If you have introverts, extroverts, you have different personalities, and you know this team's personalities, I'm just throwing it out there, but what about an opportunity to like pair people up and have them come up with ideas together?
I mean,
say, I get 20 people, guys, I want two groups of 10. Is that right? 10 groups of two.
Yeah, just simple math.
10 math call. 10 groups of two, where you're pairing the extrovert with the introvert and kind of.
I think you'd have to read your team. I think you'd have to read your team, because I think I think that can be a great way to do it. I think the danger is when they're in that group by themselves, the extrovert just takes over. So it's just making sure that you set those parameters. But
or ensuring that the introvert presents the idea that the team came up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That can do it too.
Like you said, it goes back to controlling it and commanding the room and making sure that as a leader, you're almost asking yourself in the meeting, am I making sure that I'm hearing the right ideas from everybody? And that, that we, not, I'm hearing it, my team,
is
our
hearing,
team,
right,
is
our
hearing
team is hearing it. And I think, you know, we do an exercise in the training that I think is one of the ones, if probably one of the most popular things we do. And a lot of times, you know, it's an exercise that sometimes we'll do where it's give me your two cents. Like people are, you know, I want your 2 cents. I want your idea, right? But only give me your 2 cents.
Yeah.
I don't want 5 cents. I don't want 10 cents. I want your 2 cents, but I only want your 2 cents. And so some of that
you're going to get a refund if you're
almost that idea of like, look, as we come together as a team, I want to hear everybody's 2 cents.
Right.
But I don't want to hear
10 cents.
10 cents. Yeah. So if you're that type of person, lay back a little bit because you know you can build off of other people's ideas, but I think that's an interesting way of setting the structure. Is I want to hear everybody's 2 cents.
Yeah.
So come ready to go.
Everyone gets 15 seconds of fame. Go.
Well, towards that, you know, I think.
Well, I love how you said that.
That's a segue.
Was it?
No, I think you know I've talked.
I don't even see what it's a segue.
Well, I'm just. It's not really a segue.
No, it's fine.
Is I think another thing that you can do, and you know, again, I understand there can be constraints of time, and if you've got a 20-person meeting, it might be tough to do this. But I remember this. This is at Lear Burnett, so I'm going to give a shout out to a former company that I worked for. But one thing I thought was great about what they did, you know, and so we would come in, we would know, for instance, we'd be in a creative review committee. So we have to come together. We see the creatives that they present the material of what they've, like, three different teams might present. Here's what I think the ad should be.
Is this like from What Women Want with Mel Gibson, where he's stealing the running idea? And then, like, is it weird that I know that?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why.
It's more like what Eric wants.
Yeah, seriously.
So
love Mel Gibson.
We would know going in. This is what we've got to do, and so you might prep a little bit more to think about what am I looking for, what do I think is important for the messaging and all that. You'd see it, and then we would go, and people would have to comment and say what they thought, so we could emerge with an idea.
Yeah.
Or go back to the drawing board or whatever it is. And I loved the way that they did it. Because if that review committee was 10 people or 8 people, they would start with the most junior person in the room. And so that is the person who probably, in most cases, stay quiet, not ruffle anything, don't want to look bad, don't want to say anything wrong.
I've been here 6 months,
but
I don't know.
I knew going in as that junior person, I got to speak first, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm ready to go. I've gone in that meeting thinking about what I think is important. I'm evaluating, and then I say what I think.
Yeah.
Now, and then it kind of goes up the chain, so to speak. And I also thought it was a great way of doing it because from a junior member, I couldn't just sit on it. I had to give my ideas. And from a senior person, or even as I moved up that chain, the more senior people would be able to listen to newer perspectives, maybe younger perspectives of the newer person on the team, or things that maybe they hadn't considered, and it would either bolster their idea or they'd realize, you know, that the person was a little bit off. And so once we finally got to the decision, it was cool because as a junior person, you felt like, oh, here's some of the stuff that I said that was true. Here's what I got. Here's the stuff I missed, but people aren't expecting me to be the one that has all of the answers right now.
Right.
But they've given my voice. I've heard it, and so now I'm supporting whatever we leave the room with. I felt my voice is heard, and also I understand along the way what I got right and what I got wrong, and I'm ready for the next meeting. And in many ways, they were developing their people so that they had leadership now, because that senior leader could still walk up. He or she could listen to everybody and say, you know what, I appreciate everybody's input, but that's not what we're going to do. We're going to do it my way, and this is what we're going to do. Or they could pick and choose along the way and say, I think that's great, and that's great, and so here's what we're going to move along. But they were also building leadership for the future.
As that junior person, you're going into the next meeting, you're like, well, I just heard what all my more experienced colleagues had to say,
right.
How they built off of my idea, or my initial comments about the idea. Like, it's not so much I realized what I hit right on and what I hit wrong on, but it's like, I just realized, I learned what experience means to an idea here at Leo Burnett, let's say, here at ABC Company, and immediately you're feeling empowered, you're feeling part of the team, but you're also feeling like, I can now formulate an idea or think like somebody who's been here for 10 years because I just went through
I saw how you expressed it.
I had to simplify it because I'm
Totally, though, but it went down school. And, like, you're you know, two levels above me, and the way you succinctly express something is like, oh, that's the way I should present my argument the next time, because it really cut through. Right. You know,
or
and
I need to think about
time,
these.
I've surfaced my idea, and the senior leader might have heard from a fresh perspective that really what we need, if I'm in the target market, is something that's bold and new and different, and we don't have to worry, you know, so... So not to say that that's the only way to do it, and I don't think it always has to be from the junior person in the room on up. I think that is a great way to kind of cultivate talent. But even just in going back to our meeting about cultivating ideas is involving people or saying like, hey, as we start out, I want to hear one idea from each of you.
Yeah.
So and then we're going to talk about it and try to build off it. So let's go. And I get that can be a little unwieldy if there are 20 people in the room, but at least that aspect of things, that idea of things. Or if I know we're going to have five of these meetings – along the way, at one of them, I'm going to make sure that four or five people, you know, are included. And the next one, I'm going to make sure that four or five other people are included. So
I think this is huge too, because me coming from the sales background and I wish we did this more with like sales and marketing, taking two functions that are working relatively toward the same goal.
Yeah.
And coming up with, okay, guys, we have to do $10 million this year.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep switching from 10 and 50. Let's say we got to do $10 million this year.
Yeah. We'll have a lower goal.
Yeah.
We'll get to 50 next year.
Let's sandbag. Let's under-promise and over-deliver as we always do.
I didn't mean to cut you off. But so get them both.
But having like sales and marketing, two functions that really should be working together, like product and engineering, like, I don't know what other ones. So, I don't know. You're in the market. You were coming from the marketing world and in other worlds. But like in my world, those are two teams that really work together.
Yeah.
And then like even saying, okay, we got this idea, we have this goal, or we have to formulate ideas to get to $10 million and having marketing like start or having like say, guys, we need to sell more.
Right.
Come up with two ideas and starting with like marketing is like thinking, well, I'm in marketing. Why am I trying to come up with this? And like seeing how other people think in different roles. I think that's huge. I mean, we do this in our training with exercises that are more generic as far as, not really role specific, but
right.
I think it's something huge that a lot of our clients get out of learning about it. It's like, oh, if we can learn how to cultivate ideas as a team, how do we cultivate ideas cross team? And that's
we can get to another
podcast.
One, but
yeah,
I think it's a great point because so many times sales has their meetings. Marketing is their meetings.
And when
they have different ideas. And then they kind of think like, well, what the hell is it? What are the sales? What's the sales staff?
I've lived that. I've,
you know? Like,
I've seen
marketing
that.
Marketing is so messed up, right? You know,
seen it cripple.
And I've seen it. So,
and
podcasts we'll probably get to. I had that example in new products where it was marketing / idea people coming up with ideas for new products. And in this case, it was for a food and the food development people that had to execute that. And not ever being in the same room as we develop new ideas, which created this tension between both of them, thinking that each other's sides are idiots.
Makes you want to run off a cliff a little bit.
But there's a solution.
No parachute.
In the next
there
podcast,
is.
In another podcast, we'll talk about the solution.
Great. Sounds good. Well, guys, thanks for joining us here on the Amplified Podcast. Be sure to follow us at Amplified Team on Instagram, at Think Amplified on Twitter. You can also find us on LinkedIn at Amplified Team Training and AmplifiedTeam.com. But to certainly reach out to us if you're struggling, especially with meetings or want to see your executive staffs or individual teams come up with better ideas and working together and really want to work on executing meetings, reach out to us. We can absolutely sit, talk, and consult on that as well. We'll look forward to catching up with you all on the next podcast.